Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. We'll be finishing up my message from last week. And he says, Ephesians chapter 5 is where we started it up, of course, in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so we got the admonition in the passage, of course, to be filled with the Spirit. The choice is there. For the Christian, you became the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was yours the day you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You got Him. We talk about it. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is in you. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. We know that. Last time we talked about how as a lost man, before our salvation, we found that we were filled with all unrighteousness. And so that included lies and indignation, subtlety, mischief, envy, confusion, and wrath, of course. And now as the Christian comes about and you get the new creature in Christ and old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. And you're supposed to be this new being here. And as you are, you're supposed to be able to be filled now with the Spirit. Now the difference comes in, and people often ask what the difference is, and so the difference is you can be saved and have the Holy Ghost, but not be full of the Holy Ghost. There's multiple passages throughout the New Testament where we find that we can quench Him, and so we can quiet Him down, and we can suppress Him so that it's not a filling. The filling of the Holy Ghost would be where all of what we do and how we behave and how we think and how we react and how we do all the things that we do are solely based upon what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. That's the idea of the filling of the Spirit, submitting to what God has for us. And so the admonition here is to be filled with the Spirit. The command, ultimately, the command that He gives right here is ultimately to be filled with the Spirit. To have it so much in our lives that you have no other option but to do the Spirit's bid. Whatever He asks, that's what we would do. You say, well, what happens to us? Well, we understand what we like. We get our flesh in the way, right? If you walk in the flesh, you shall die, right? We go after what our flesh wants as opposed to what the Spirit wants. We choose the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So we choose either to walk in the flesh or to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but if we walk in the flesh, we're not going to do what the Spirit wants us to do. And so we have this dichotomy within us, and truly, the Christian is the only one who has the dichotomy. A lost man, he doesn't have anything to do with the idea of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have it, doesn't have access to it. Until he gets saved, his spirit's dead in trespasses and sins. He has no communication with God. But the Christian, on the other hand, has full access to the Holy Spirit of God. And so last time as we looked in Colossians chapter 1, that we can be filled with the knowledge of His will. All the time, you know what people, Christians constant of, I don't know what the will of God is for me. Now, what they really mean is, I don't know what He wants me to do in 20 years. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking so far out in front of them that they don't know what He wants. God doesn't have to reveal that far. We talked about that last time. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. That's right here. And a light unto our path. And that's about all we get. We don't get a whole long distance out there of 20, 30, 40 years. You say, well, are you going to be the pastor of the church for the next 40 years? I hope a trumpet sounds way before then. Let's just be clear on this. Okay, let's start there. But if the Lord doesn't sound a trumpet, maybe. But what if he changes his mind on what he wants? What if I'll be a hindrance and so somebody else needs to come in and take that place? What if it would be better if somebody else had it and the Lord has a different plan for me to move over and do something different? You say, whoa, 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 that can't possibly happen. It absolutely could happen. If it'd be better for this church and it'd be better for the Lord's will and his timing for me to go somewhere else in 15 years, I don't know that. You say, are you planning on that? No, I don't see any indication of it. It's not like I'm thinking, oh, well, the Lord's going to call me somewhere. No, I have no inclination of that. I don't think he is. I don't think that would be very normal for him to do. But could he? Oh, absolutely. The problem is, if people go, well, you know, you're right where you're supposed to be. I'm right where I'm supposed to be today. Hopefully you're right where you're supposed to be today. The knowledge of his will is not a, oh, I know 30 years down the road where we're going to be and how everything's going to work. We can't tell that. But you know what you ought to be able to tell? You ought to be able to tell what he's doing here in all these recent times. Hey, am I in the job I'm supposed to have? Am I at the church I'm supposed to be in? Am I living where I'm supposed to live? Am I doing day in and day out what I'm supposed to do? The knowledge of his will is ultimately, if I'm walking with him today, am I okay? If you're filled with the Spirit, you know what you'll do? You'll be filled with the knowledge of his will. You'll know what's going on today. You'll know what it looks like the outcome would be in about a week or two. You may even get a couple of months. You may even get a year. But you know what you won't get? You won't get 10. That's not normal. And we may see what he's trying to do. You realize that as we walk with him and as we get a little more light and a little more light and a little more light, we find out that he starts showing us a little bit farther sometimes. But that's about it. You know, my illustration last time was me, and I got called to preach. I knew I was called to preach. I knew I was supposed to do that. But I didn't know what aspect. I certainly didn't think I would be back here. You know, I grew up here. My verse when I left for Bible school was, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. Lord, don't call me home. That was one of my prayer requests. I had two prayer requests of the Lord when I went to school. Prayer request number one, don't leave me in Pensacola to die, all right? Because for one, I don't even like Pensacola, all right? I don't. I love the church. I love people. I had a lot of friends, still have a lot of friends there, but I don't want to live there. Maybe you want to live there. That's fine. You can have it. I didn't like it. I didn't like living there. I didn't like 100 degrees with 100% humidity. I didn't like walking outside at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to the job site and immediately feel like I need a different shirt already. That's the humidity level right there. You walk outside and you're just like, oh, I'm sweating. And I didn't even do anything but... and that I don't like it. And so the other side was, not only did I not like the place, I also was like, I don't want to be somebody who doesn't do anything. They got 1,000 people there. I don't need to... What do I need to do there? They got plenty of people there. They need... the Lord needs some other people somewhere else. So I said, hey, just don't leave me in Pensacola. And then my other prayer request was, don't make me go home. I got one out of two, all right? I got one out of two, and the Lord knew better than I knew, all right? And so here we are, but you say, well, did you know it was going to be the pastorate? No, I didn't know it was going to be the pastorate. He could have made me a missionary. He could have made me an evangelist. He could have made me whatever he wanted to make me. And so you follow the steps. I didn't know what it was going to be when I got there, but I knew I was right where I was supposed to be. One of the best decisions I ever made was I got to the... I ran into some problems between my first and my second year, and I was back here, and I was home for just a short time. And I thought, Lord, I don't know, should I be going back? And I was really wrestling with it, and the Lord said, that's where I called you. And I said, okay, I'll go. But I have no idea how you're going to work some of these things out. And about that time, the Lord was already working things out, and I had no idea all the things he was going to do. And he worked it all out. I get back down there and everything was fixed by the time I got back down there. And I thought, Lord, you are amazing. And he said, all you had to do is just trust me to go. Just, you know what I want you to do. Don't worry about the hows and the things and all the pieces. I worry about the pieces. You worry about the doing. Just do what I told you. The knowledge of his will. Say, well, I don't know how it's all going to work. then it's not by faith.
Right.
And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so, you know, we believe a King James Bible. I have a lot of facts on why I believe that, but it comes down to faith eventually. Just like your salvation did. Just like you and I believing we have eternal security. Just like you believing that God can provide all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Just like, how many more you want? We can keep going. Our salvation is conditional upon faith. We have it because of faith. We understand who God is because of faith. We understand what we believe because of faith. But we also understand that this life is a walk of faith. And you may know, but you don't quite know. We look at it and we go, well, I know I'm saved, 100%. Okay, can you prove it? Well, the Bible says, okay, yeah, but how do you show somebody you actually possess it? You can't do it by sight. Well, the Lord changed my life. Well, that's an indicator that he did something. But you see what I mean? There's still that level of faith. I still have to believe, you know what? You know what gives us that security? Our faith. And faith is substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But it's substance and evidence, but there's a piece that's still not seen. And that's why we can follow him. But we know what he wants. And you can know today that you're doing the right thing when you're filled with the Spirit. You can know and you can have fellowship and have an understanding with God that, hey, yes, I am doing what I'm supposed to do. We talked about that. We talked about being filled with the power of God. And we went over to Acts chapter 6 and we looked at Stephen. And he was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of power. Power. We looked over there at Colossians chapter 1 and it's strengthened with all might by his eternal power. That's what we have when we were filled with the knowledge of his will. We also got strengthened by his almighty power. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what you have? You have access to all the power of God. How amazing is that? I know his will, and so now I have the power to do what he asked me to do, his will. The power of God shows up because you need his power to do what he asks. Because without me, ye can do nothing. And he fills us with his power so that we can accomplish what we ought to accomplish and we can do what we ought to do in Jesus Christ. Look over at Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And so we're filled with the knowledge of his will. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, I firmly believe you'll be full of the knowledge of his will. I also believe you'll be filled with his power. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Well, let's back up. Verse number 9. Philippians 1 verse 9. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so tonight we're going to look at the last part of this, which is being filled with the fruits of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into the last part of the message. Father, I thank you for the night and I thank you, Lord, for the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that he would come. Lord, even tonight we'd hear a trumpet sound and we'd get to go see our Savior. But Father, if not, I pray we'd take each and every day and try to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and do things your way, in your will, in your power. And Father, we would do things that would bring forth fruits, Lord, that are worthy of the God that saved us. Lord, once again, we pray you would bless our night tonight. Father, I don't know of anybody here that's lost, but if they are, I pray they'd call upon Jesus Christ to save them. Everything I talk about tonight will do them no good if they don't get Jesus as their Savior. And Father, once again, we pray you'd bless our night. Give me wisdom as I speak, and I pray it'd be help and a encouragement, Lord, to those that hear. Father, we love you, and we pray you'd come back soon in Jesus' name. Amen. He tells them here to be filled with the fruits, with the fruit of righteousness. Interesting things. I've been asked the fruits of righteousness here, and well, what are the fruits really of righteousness? You get the idea of the fruit, right? We all know Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so it's the fruit that comes forth from the root that you have been put into. We all know John chapter 15, abide in me, and I in you, he that abideth in me, right? He wants you to abide, and we abide in the vine, and I'm the vine, and you are the branches, and he wants you to bring forth fruit, right? And much fruit, ultimately. And so as we look over those things, all those pieces, you know all those. That's why we're not going to turn to all these places. You understand, right? The idea is if you're in Christ, you're supposed to bring forth fruit. You're supposed to have something to show for the fact that you have been put in Christ. And by the way, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will automatically produce fruit. It's an automatic reaction. It's an automatic growth that happens if you're abiding in Christ. It's an automatic growth as you walk in the Spirit. It's an automatic growth as you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You will produce fruit. The odd thing is, most people, they read things and they don't pay attention to what they read. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. Well, you got that when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. You're filled. You get power. That's what that just said. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, right? You know what the byproduct is of having the Holy Ghost, getting the power of God? That means you're going to be a witness, so you'll end up bringing fruit. That's all automatic. That's supposed to be an automatic. That's the progression in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall be witnesses. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you'll be? You'll be somebody who brings forth fruit. Well, why am I not bringing forth fruit? Well, hate to break it to you, but it may just very well be that you aren't full of the Holy Spirit. You're doing something to quench Him, and so you're not doing what you were supposed to do. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you know His will. Is it His will that none should perish, and isn't His will that you should tell Him? Well, that's just normal. Well, then you'd be a fruit bearer. You'd bear fruit in the idea of souls to be saved. But not only that, you'd start bearing some spiritual fruit. You know what is amazing? We're here. Let's go over to 2 John. 2 John to the right. John's writing this second epistle, and he says in verse number 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. You can go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. Just a few pages to the left, he says, in these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. John chapter 15, he wants them to have their joy full. He wants fullness of joy for the disciples. That's what Jesus wants for his disciples. He wants abundance of joy in your life. Joy, we cover this a lot in hope. Joy does not equal happiness. Two very different things. Happiness is circumstances. Joy has nothing to do with circumstances. Joy has an eternal, internal peace. It is both eternal and internal. And that's why we sang a peace that cannot take away. Oh, you got a joy unspeakable and full of glory that shouldn't be taken away. And there's something about that joy. That joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you have joy. At least that's how you're supposed to be. That same list that we talk about in Galatians chapter 5, I know we didn't turn there, but I quoted, and you know them all. You know the nine fruit of the Spirit, I would hope, right? Love, joy, there it is, second one on the list. It's an automatic thing. If a tree doesn't bring forth the fruit, there's a problem with the tree. You see, that was the problem with the fig tree that was there in the vineyard, right? The guy had it, and the husbandman and the owner looks at it, and he says, it's been 3 years. How come this thing's not giving me any fruit? And the guy taking care of the vineyard says, give me one more year. Let me dig it and dung it, right, and give it one more year, and if it doesn't bring forth anything, we'll cut it down and get rid of it. Why? Because trees are supposed to bring forth fruit. Christian, you're supposed to bring forth fruit. And that fruit of righteousness is ultimately going to be the fruit of the Spirit. But you'll notice that he covers four of them. Look over at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now there's nine fruit of the Spirit. I get that. Right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You have the inward, you have the outward, and you have the upward fruits, right? The internals, the externals you showed everybody else, and the ones that are supposed to be declared toward God, right? You can take a look at those. If you've never heard that, Hope is a wonderful program. It's got all that in there. Romans chapter 15, he says in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And Paul looks at them and he says, hey, you know what you ought to have? You ought to be full of peace, you ought to be full of goodness, and you ought to be full of faith. How about that? Isn't that amazing? You know what he did? He just grabbed a whole bunch of the fruit of the Spirit and said, you ought to have all those. You say, well, how do I know that I'm filled with the Spirit? How much fruit do you get? Inconsistent supply of the Holy Ghost will give you inconsistent fruit. If a tree doesn't get consistent water and sunlight and nutrients, it doesn't grow right. You get weak, you get kind of awful fruit. You know, the concern of drought is you don't get the right fruit. The fruit doesn't come out right. You don't get the crop you were looking for. Too much water, too much of this, too much of that. Not enough sun, not enough this. Right? You want the right conditions to get the right crop to grow and to have the fruit that you need. And God looks at us and he goes, what haven't I given you? Isaiah chapter 5, what more could I have done for my vineyard? What else does God have to do for you to be able to grow? What more does God have to do to make it so that you could produce fruit? I find very quickly the problem for me is not God's problem. His supply is never ending. He's got all the light, he's got all the water, he's got all the nutrients, he's got all the right things for me to grow. So then the problem is me. You say, what's my problem? I don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit. If I stayed full of the Holy Spirit, the fruit would be an automatic production. You know, you don't have to act loving if you're actually loving. You ever know those people that are always just happy? They seem happy, right? They seem like they've got joy. Like Brother Andrew is annoying, isn't he? I think I literally could throw lemons at him and have him suck on the lemons that I threw at him. And he would still smile. I have no idea what, right? Does that annoy anybody else? I'm just saying, Brother Andrew, just calm it down, all right? No. Say, what is that? He's joyful. He's joyful. You say, you're just singling him out because he's just naturally joyful. Okay. Maybe. But I've seen some rough circumstances for him, and he's joyful. You look around and you go, people have gone through some real troubles and some real trials. How do they have peace through their storms? How are they still calm? How do they not lose their temper all the time? How is it that they can go through all the problems and the trials and the troubles and they don't seem to be shaken? You look around this room right here and you've got people all around you, including yourself probably, that's been through some trials and some troubles, and some of them you handled real well, didn't you? And the Holy Spirit was there, and you walked through that trouble, and you know what you went? You went, God, you are so good to me. I do not know how I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding through this. And maybe there were other times where you didn't. But there are some days you were joyful, you were had peace, you were just as good as possible. Because you were full of the Holy Ghost. You had a great walk with the Lord that day and you were doing great. You ever have a day that you didn't? Don't raise your hand. Say, well, what's the difference between the two? One day you were walking with God and you were full of the Holy Ghost. The other day, you were walking in the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You were going the wrong direction. You made the wrong choice. And the fruit that you produced came out automatic. It didn't come out on accident. It didn't come out because, I let that one slip. No, that is the product of who you were that day. You decided to not be full of the Holy Ghost and instead be full of self, be full of the flesh, be full of our own decisions and our own makings. We choose one or the other. It's a choice. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is a choice because God is not holding it back like you can't have Him. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants us to have the knowledge of His will. He wants us to have the power in our lives. He wants us to bear much fruit. That is what He wants for us. So the question comes, why am I not? Why don't I? Why don't I know what He wants? Why don't I have His power? Why don't I have the fruit of righteousness? Why is it that I don't have those things? And the only answer I can come up with is, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. When I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what I won't have? I won't have the knowledge of His will, and I won't have the power of God, and I won't have the fruit to show that I have Him. That sounds like a works salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has everything to do with the Christian walk and the Christian life. How do I know that a change is happening in me and that I have the Holy Ghost that's working inside of me that worketh and performeth and doeth all the things that He wants to do when I'm starting to bring forth the fruit that He asked me to bring forth? Now, say, man, does this take a lot of work? It takes a lot of work on the Lord's side. It takes you getting out of His way on our side. Most of the time that we have, we decide. You say, well, what do I decide? You decide to do it your way still. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to show you what I mean. I could go back to Galatians chapter 5, right? We could go over the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I don't need to even do that for you. You all know those lists pretty well, probably. What I want you to see is this. The problem we have, and I talked about it last Sunday morning, I referenced it last Sunday night, the problems that we run into for ourselves, our personal issues that we have, is that we don't do it God's way and God can't bless. He can't fill us. We choose to go the wrong direction. He gets done telling us here, right, to go ahead, and we read down the passage last time. We talked about getting it. We talked about how to be filled with it, right? We talked about how we need to wake up in verse number 14. We need to get light from Christ. We need to walk circumspectly in verse 15, and we need to start working, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And instead of being drunk with wine, wherein is excess, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Say, how do I do that? You start going with the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. You start praising God. You start giving Him thanks. You start looking to Him and trusting in Him. And verse 21 starts it off. Verse 21, he didn't stop and change thoughts. I don't know if you have paragraph markers in your Bible. There is no new paragraph right there. He's still on the same thought. He hasn't left it. And you know what he says? Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Whoops. You say, how do I know if I am getting full of the Holy Ghost? It's going to start right here in this one spot, and none of us like it. It is removal of our pride and being willing to submit and humble ourselves. To become the servant to everybody else. And already we don't like it. Our flesh hates this idea right here. But I mentioned it this morning. I'll mention it again. Humility brings us the grace of God in our lives. Amen. That's how we get the grace of God, is through humility. James chapter 4. He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. How do we get the grace of God in our life? How do we get God to show up and start ministering in our life? By ministering to somebody else. By helping somebody else. Let each esteem other better than themselves. This is completely backward to our fleshly mentality. Our fleshly mentality is me first, everybody else, I don't care. It's all about me. What can I get and what can I gain? That's why the Spirit mentality is me last, everybody else, what can I do for them? And you find that he starts now with those closest to us, because he still keeps going. Verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You find out that if you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, not only do you start to recognize that, hey, I need to know his will and I need to have his power and I need to be filled with the right fruit. You find that if you are, a good test is, how do I treat my spouse? That'll be a good test. How do I treat my family? Because in a moment he's going to get to chapter 6 and it's, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, right? The question comes, well, how do I deal with my own family? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll still treat your family right. Isn't it weird that we'll be better to strangers sometimes than we will to our own families? Because we go, well, they'll love us anyways. So if I'm awful to them for a moment, it's okay. If I lose my temper with them, they have to forgive me. But if I lose my temper on this complete stranger, that'll look bad. Maybe I'm just the only one. I don't know. But normally we go, well, I can get away with saying that to And the Lord says, that's just the test. Litmus test, real quick. How is your filling of the Holy Ghost? Okay? Litmus test is, how do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your family? Well, they're not full of the Holy Ghost because they don't... I didn't ask how they treated you. How do you treat them? As much as we would love to be concerned about how everybody else does it and how full they are, the question is not how full is your spouse. The question is how full are you? Amen. How are you doing? Wives are supposed to love and submit to their husbands. Husbands, they're supposed to love and care for their wives, protect them, take care of them. We're supposed to lead and guide as the husband and the father. How you doing? I already covered this last Sunday morning. I'm not gonna pound on it tonight. But knowing what we're supposed to do and doing what we're supposed to do are two very different things. And if that relationship isn't right, I can tell you right now, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. If you can't treat your spouse right, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Children, if you can't obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you can't handle that, kids, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the way, you do not have to be 20 years old to go ahead and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no age limit on that one. If you're smart enough and you got saved and you got saved young, you can be full of the Holy Ghost just as much as me. Just as much as anybody else in the room. In fact, a lot of times you got a better chance of being full because you don't have as much pride and arrogancy normally when you're that young. It's amazing how merciful the Lord is that way. And you realize that if you are unwilling to submit to others, you're unwilling to go ahead and have the right relationship with your spouse. If you're a child in here and you're not going to have a good relationship with your parents, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not doing it His way. That's why we obey. That's why we follow. That's why we submit as children. That's why we honor our father and our mother, that we maybe go well with thee. Fathers, verse number 4, some of us want to rip that verse right out. Provoke not your children to wrath. How do you treat your kids? Your spouse and your kids. I find it interesting that it's the fathers are the ones that aren't supposed to provoke their children to wrath. Probably applies pretty well to the mom, but we usually have that on us, guys. That's usually us. Not as caring. Then he says in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. The work relationships. That covers the work relationships. How are you on your labors? I mentioned this morning, a good Christian's a good worker. They labor. They do what they're told. They work hard to get the job done, and they do their best to make sure they do it the way they're supposed to do it. You say, well, I mean, I don't really like my boss. Okay, that's not what he said. Now, you may run into a situation where you disagree with how something ought to be done, and you ought to respectfully be able to bring that up and talk with him, and if he's approachable, hopefully, you can have a conversation. But you know what the answer is, ultimately, if he says do it the way he told you to do it, you do it. I've had those conversations on plenty of jobs. I had it at Tessie Plastics, I had it at Ken's Electric, I had it at every job I've ever had. I've had it. You always run into something where you go, I don't really know that that's going to be a good thing. Can we do something different? The deacons all know. You sit in a deacon room, you know what you find? You find that even at the church, you know what we have to do? Is that going to be the best choice? And make sure we're doing the right thing before we do the wrong thing. Amen? That's a good thing. I have people that have called me, and they talk with me, and they say, hey, Pastor, I saw this, or you said this, or we did this, or we're going to do that. We need to be careful on that. And I appreciate that. You say, why? Because they're not trying to railroad me or act like I'm horrible or I'm being, you know, this or that. They're coming because they're concerned. They don't want something to be done wrong. They're being good in the church. They're being good co-laborers here at work. The work of the Lord. That's the work of the Lord side. Right? At the job site, as a master, as a boss, you know what you ought to be able to do? Not threaten. You ought to be able to work with people. You ought to be able to understand, have a good working relationship. Dave Ockmoody was my boss for a while. He's not here tonight, but it's his birthday, you know. And he and I, we butted heads at times, and we had different opinions, and we had different thoughts, but he was the boss, so you know what he got? I tried to do whatever he told me I had to do. Say, why'd you do it? Because he's a Christian, but he's my boss. He's a friend, but he's my boss. That's how it worked. You try to do everything as best you possibly can, especially when you're in a lost world and you're both a couple of saved folks. You want to do everything as best you possibly can. But the truth is, those work relationships, you know what you find? You find that those will be great indicators of whether you're full of the Spirit or not. I personally think that all of these relationship moments that he's talking about, whether it's husbands to wives and wives to husbands, whether it's parents to kids and kids to parents, whether it's on the job, whether it's this, whether it's that, all of these people and submitting yourselves one to another, it starts going out to everybody else. All of those, you know what they'll be? They'll be great litmus tests for whether or not you're full of the Spirit. How do I interact with everybody around me? You know, Jesus Christ was the exact example. I don't know how Jesus would not have been full of the Holy Ghost. Right? He looked at a multitude and he's moved with compassion. He looks around and he understands what they need. And he submits. Realize Jesus Christ became the servant of all. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what is he doing? Just serving. He's called in the Old Testament his righteous servant. The branch. Well, how do I get filled with the Spirit? He already told you that. It's a choice. You change as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Well, you start thinking on the right things, and you know what you'll start doing? You'll start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You'll start understanding what the will of the Lord. You'll start looking for Him and you'll start paying attention to Him. You'll set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. You'll start putting all the pieces in the right place, and you know what you'll find? You'll find the more you let Him in, the more He'll fill. Amen. The more you allow God to fill, the more you'll get all the other stuff out. And the washing of water by the Word will start flushing out all that stuff. And He'll purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He'll push it all out so that He can go ahead and get everything cleaned up so that you can be full of the Holy Ghost. But it's always a choice. You are as full of the Holy Ghost as you'd like to be. I firmly believe that. That's oftentimes why we don't ask to be. You can pray and ask Him, Lord, would you fill me? Well, why don't you? Well, I'm afraid of what I would do. What wrong thing is He going to have you do? What terrible fruit would you bring forth if you were full of the Holy Ghost? Well, I can't think of one. So then why don't we? Why don't we stay filled? Because we choose not to. The choices we make affect the walk that we have, and they affect whether we're full of Him or full of us. Let's go ahead and stand. That fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of righteousness that we're supposed to be filled with, those pieces that we're supposed to add in and we're supposed to make sure we have, and our physical relationships with people. Now, I am not legalistic, outward, everything's on the outside and you got to do all these things right on the outside. The problem, though, is that the inside starts to show on the outside. Right? I'm all for cleaning up the inside, because if you can get the inside right, you get the rest. The outside gets cleaned up when we fix the inside. Amen? We change from the inside out. That's how He saved us. He saved us internally, eternally, so that we can be changed externally to show a world that we are saved. And that's how you know. We walk worthy. We walk meet of the things, the gospel of what He called us to. And He makes those changes in our lives. But the only way we get those changes is if we allow Him to change us. And so we need to be filled. Could you imagine what God could do with you personally? Think about you personally. If you would stay filled with the Holy Ghost, the decisions you'd make would be the right ones. The witnesses you'd have would be fruitful ones. The choices you make in your life would be the best ones. And God would get all the glory every time. Say, what stops it? I stop it. Nobody else stops it. Not in my life. I stop it in my life. Lord, I do pray You would just bless the invitation now. I know this is not our normal message, but God, I do pray You would help us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Help us to be strengthened with all might by His eternal power. Help us to know Your will and do Your will and follow You day in and day out. Father, I pray we'd recognize quickly when we're starting to leak the Holy Ghost and not have that full power and that full might, that we'd be able to walk worthy of our Savior. And once again, we pray You'd bless our night in Jesus' name. Amen.